Hello everyone, an audio boo verse thing. It's the fifth of the fifth, 2015. That's a mouthful. And it's about 10 minutes after 10 in the morning. And this is my May Day, it's day five. And I'm sitting here waiting for my trainer. And I was just thinking, this is not really anything to do with, you know, the last few audio boos and the whole unfollowing thing. As far as I'm concerned, hopefully we can move on from, not unfollowing, but the whole followers popularity contest. This has nothing to do with it. I mean, it's not that it has nothing to do with it, but it's like moved on from there. You know how, like, when something happens, a stream of consciousness develops, right? So I can't say it was inspired by it, but it has nothing to do with it. It's a much more general thing. And I want to talk about, because I've been thinking about it as a general philosophical thought, not anymore. What is an apology? What makes us apologize, and how do we feel about apologizing and being apologized to? And it has nothing to do with what we did wrong or what people think we did wrong or what people did wrong. This is more about the process, the emotional process of apology and what it actually means. I was thinking about it. What is an apology, really? Is it an admission of wrongdoing, or is it a thought for someone's feelings? You know, is it, and forgive me for being so philosophical, that's just me, I'm really weird that way. Is it that we think that we did something wrong? Is that when we apologize? Or do we apologize to satisfy expectations? Or do we apologize, and how do we feel? And I think there's different kinds of apology, now that I think of it. I'm kind of thinking with you. First, there is an apology because you know you messed up. You did something wrong. And you kind of want to... There's no way to take what you did back, obviously. But you kind of want to say to the other person, hey, look, man, I messed up. Or, hey, look, I messed up. I am sorry. And what we're saying by that is, I regret what I did. I acknowledge that it didn't make you feel very good. And my friendship with you, or my connection with you, is more important to me. And so I acknowledge that I did something wrong. And this makes me think of something that I did when I was in year 12 in school, 12th grade, or I was 17, how old was I? Yeah, 17. Now, this is something I would never do now, but I'm sure, and this is not a, oh, look, this is what I did wrong type thing, but when I think of apologizing to someone, or something that I did that, you know, incurred an apology, this is something awful that I did to a friend of mine. And like I say, I would never do it again, and I would never do it now in my, you know, at my old age of 41, but I wonder if people can see themselves in the situation. And this is really silly. It's a really silly thing, but it hurt my friend very much. I had a very close, well, I still have, he's still my friend, so I guess it's all good now. And now we laugh about it. We've actually laughed about it for years, but at the time it was very hurtful to my friend. My friend and I were very, very close, and he and I, now he was not interested in women, and he and I planned to go to a fair in Miami, like a youth fair, you know, with those kind of fairs that they build and take down, those, you know, with rides and concession stands those kinds of youth fairs. I think they're called, well, in the States, that's what they're called. I don't know if they're called the same in other countries. So we planned to go that weekend, and all was good. Now, here's where it gets high schooly. Okay. Now there was this guy that I really, really, really liked. Okay. I don't know why I liked him now that I think of the kind of guy he was. I don't know what I saw in him, but we're all entitled to that kind of thing in high school, aren't we? So I was really hoping that he would ask me to go to this fair. So now the thing is that my friend knew that I liked the guy, and he couldn't stand him. They hated each other. I don't know if it had anything to do with me or not, but they still don't like each other to this day. So I doubt it's me. You know, they hated each other, and I knew that if I told my friend that I wanted to go to the fair with someone that I liked, or with that particular person, he would really be mad at me. He would get so ticked off at me and say, you know, because he kept giving me a hard time about what I see in him anyway and what kind of a jerk he is and stuff. And so I didn't think that he would ask me anyway. And I wanted to go with my friend. It's not that I didn't. So I agreed to go with my friend. Now, of course, what happened? I did get asked. So here I am, committed to going with my friend. And of course, being asked by this guy that I thought was the best thing since sliced bread. Not that I like sliced bread, actually. I prefer it not, but the best thing since sliced bread. Finally asking me to this youth fair, a chance to, you know, go out with a guy, and I'm committed to my best friend. Now, of course, the decent thing from my old age would be to say, I'm sorry, but I've already committed to going with my friend. Maybe you and I could go somewhere else sometime, some other time. And that's the decent thing to do, but we're not really decent when we're 17 and in love, are we? Gosh, I don't ever want to be 17 again. So of course I got so excited. Of course I said yes, and I'm like, okay. I'm sure most of you know where this is going, right? How do I get out of going with my friend without hurting his feelings? So, because the thing is, I knew that if I told him, hey, look, this guy asked me finally, and I want to go with him, I wouldn't hear the end of it, to be fair. To be fair, he shouldn't have given me such a hard time about this guy, but it still doesn't justify what I did. So, of course, what do? Like any stupid 17-year-old, I call him in that, you know, morning, and I told him, oh, I'm really not well today. I'm really sick, you know, I don't feel well, blah, 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 blah. I don't think I can go anywhere tonight. And I'm thinking, you know, and he's like, oh, okay, well, maybe we can go tomorrow. And I said, yeah, let's go tomorrow. Good, okay. So I'm like thinking, yeah, cool, you know, we're going tomorrow. And I get to go with, you know, the guy that I'm like in love with. And then I can go with my best friend tomorrow. No one need to know. Everybody will be okay. Everything will be okay. Nobody need to, you know, nobody need get hurt. Whatever. So I go with my, sort of kind of boyfriend or crush or whatever. We have a fab time. You know, young love and stuff. And so we got off the big Ferris wheel, and we bought something to eat, and we're walking kind of in the fair. Now, keep in mind, there's thousands of people. This is a fair in Miami. This isn't some small town. You know, you're not likely to see anyone, you know. Well, all of a sudden I hear, well, looks like you're feeling a lot better. Oh, boy. And yes, you guessed it, it was my best friend. And he was livid. He was like, "You bitch!" You know, he screamed that in the middle of the fair. "How could you do this to me?" And he started this scene. And the guy I was with, he's like, "Yo, back off, man. You know, she obviously wanted to go with me. It wasn't nice." So I'm like, "You know, let's talk about this." He's like, I said, "You know, let's not make a scene. I'm sorry. Let's talk about it another time." "No, I'm never speaking to you again. Blah, 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 blah." And he storms off. And I felt horrible. Oh my gosh. And I didn't want to show the guy, you know, I wanted to impress my date, as it were. And I was like, "Oh." And he's like, "Oh man, you know, that guy's such a loser. You know, so what? So you didn't go with him. So what's, it's the end of the world, you know?" And I said, "Well, the truth is that I was supposed to go with him tonight. And because you asked me, I went with you." "Well, good." He says, "Well, good." You see, that's the kind of jerk I like to know. Anyway. So, of course, my friend didn't speak to me for the next, because that was a Saturday night. And so the Sunday, he didn't speak to me. Now, there were no mobile phones, so, you know, he didn't call me, and I felt horrible the whole day, and didn't sleep, and cried, and said, you know, I was going to lose my friend, and said, "Oh, I shouldn't have gone with this jerk anyway, you know, why did he say, oh, good, you know, I still liked him," but I was like, the shine was beginning to wear off, because, you know, I was thinking, man, he's so unempathetic and stuff. And he's like, "You know, tell him that you spent the whole weekend with me so that he doesn't think that you sulked and everything or that you were upset." And I said, "No, I can't do that, you know." So Monday morning, we all go to school. And I see him. And, of course, we have a shouting match in the middle of the hallway between classes. Because my friend, I love him to bits. So he's a bit of a drama person. And I was a little bit indignant and I felt really guilty. But then I said to him, when he stopped screaming and yelling at me and being, you know, upset, he felt so betrayed, and I'll never forget, you know, and I can imagine how he felt. Oh my gosh, you know. And I said, "You know, how would you have reacted if I told you that I wanted to go with him?" "Well, you know, you shouldn't have wanted to go with him." I said, "Well, I did, you know, I like him and stuff, but..." So then I said, you know, after we all calmed down, I said, "Listen, I'm really, really sorry. And I really humbly apologize to him for doing that." And I said, "I'm sorry. You know, when you start liking someone, you kind of lose your head." And I really felt that I wanted to apologize, not because he was just because he was angry, or because, you know, or because I got caught or anything like that. I wanted to apologize because I felt that I did something really wrong, and that I have compromised what was then and still is now one of the best friendships I've ever had. For what? For a date. And of course, after doing that, you know, you kind of sober up and you're thinking, wow, is it really worth it? You know, friends, dates can come and go, but friendships like this, you know, we've always been there for each other and still are. So that was something that I did that I'm really, really not proud of. My only excuse was that I was 17, high school kid, you know, in love with a jerk. Or at the time, he was a jerk. I'm sure he's a lot nicer now. But that still doesn't make it right. It makes it understandable, maybe. And it makes it fitting of the, you know, the age and the demographic at that time. Still doesn't make it right. So he forgave me, and we're still friends to this day. Really good friends, in fact. And I was, You know, and the apology came as I wanted, it's not like I could change it. And we did go, I think the fair continued the next weekend, and I think we did go, I can't remember, to be honest. I wanted, it was the closest thing I could do to changing what happened. Of course, I couldn't change what, you know, what happened. And that was an apology that came from, you know, genuine remorse and a genuine feeling of wanting to make it right again. So that's, I guess, one kind of apology. The other kind of apology, well, another kind of apology, I should say, is, now, of course, I knew, you know, this is not, I knew that when this was happening, you know, this was happening. Like, okay, I didn't set out to hurt the guy, but I did set out to deceive him or to get my way. Not to deceive him personally, but to kind of get what I wanted to do at the time. I'm not proud of this. I'm really not. But there's probably a statute of limitations on, you know, being the jerk that I was that night. So I think I've, you know, I think I can be forgiven. But you know, then there's another kind of apology when you kind of don't, you know, when you do something in a naive way and you found that people actually took things the wrong way and you did not ever set out to hurt them. You know, a little bit of like, kind of like what happened here, you know, in the last few days. So that's an apology that comes from not regretting your actions per se, but regretting something that you haven't foreseen or something that you haven't thought of that you truly... It's not exactly remorse, it's a bit more like regret that something has hurt people and you honestly had no idea, honestly didn't even think that it could, just kind of a fluke type thing. That's another apology, and it's still an apology, and you can, but then you're saying, then you're not saying, oh, I'm sorry, I did something so horrible. Then you're saying, I'm sorry that my actions caused you any kind of distress. And it still makes you feel bad, but there's a lot, it's a lot less your responsibility. You can try and fix things, but at the end of the day, the intention means a lot. So you didn't set out to hurt anyone, you did something, and you didn't, maybe didn't consider an aspect of it, or just maybe, just, you know, things happen. People interpret things in different ways. So that's one. That's another kind of apology, and that carries with it different emotional baggage. Like, you know, well, oh well, you know, I did something and got myself into a stupid situation or whatever. Then there's apologies by intimidation, like. And it starts small. It starts small. I don't call educating a child intimidation. But, you know, everybody, when you're a child or if you have a child, you know, you hear people saying, now I want you to apologize. And then they go, sorry. And, you know, nothing. And now they don't feel sorry because they have no idea what you're talking about. They don't understand the consequences of their actions or if they were impolite or did something silly as children. But that starts as, you know, having the social expectation of you to apologize. Which I think is a bit pointless because if you're intimidated into apologizing, and I don't mean it by a parent, that's just the one kind of, you know, educating to apologize to. But you have to also acknowledge when someone says, Oh, is my trainer here already? I might have to stop and continue this. Hello. Not much. Okay, I'm back after my training session with a health cookie. It was a hard training session too. I have to find a way to keep working out when I'm not here because we're leaving in less than 3 weeks. So I'm sorry about that. About the munchings. But anyway. So yeah, then there's the apologies. That you feel you need to give. To appease people. Or to get people off your back. When you really don't need it. You don't think you did anything wrong. And those are the process that goes through your mind then is. Just leave me alone. I don't tend to do those very often. Now notification. Academy. Star space signals picked up by Parkes radio telescope came from kitchen microwave. Star scientists at the Parkes telescope in central west New South Wales have discovered that strange signals first believed to be from space were actually coming from the facilities. Whoa. 38 minutes and 26 seconds. You know, or 38 minutes and 22 seconds. Time remaining. And then there's the reaction. So when you apologize, or when you receive an apology, how does it make you feel? Well, I know usually I get really embarrassed when I'm apologized to. Even if I think the apology is deserved, it's... I guess it's a good feeling, because, especially if it's deserved. Because then there is an acknowledgement that you've been wronged. And a genuine kind of the other side reaching out to you to try and fix it. If I don't think then that the apology is necessary or, you know, wanted or whatever, I still, you know, it's really embarrassing because it's like, no, you know, please just don't worry about it or whatever. But I think it's really important to acknowledge an apology. Even, you know, I think leaving people with an apology hanging is really rude, actually. So, you know, I think that apology is a two-way street. I think it's the person apologizing and the other person either accepting or at least acknowledging the other person's effort, because it doesn't hurt to apologize, but it is putting yourself, you know, all of us have a little bit of a... It's not hard for me to admit that I'm wrong, okay? Like I say, I, especially when I think I did something wrong, then I admit that I'm wrong. And, you know, it's not an ego thing exactly, but it's putting yourself in a very vulnerable position. Because it's giving the other person some sort of power to say, to either accept or reject you. In a sense. And I think it's really important to talk about things, even when an apology is accepted. I mean, just because sometimes people apologize and they think that everything is just going to go away. The minute I say, oh, I'm sorry, that's like the automatic off button. No, I mean, people still have to get over the hurt, especially if the apology is needed. And to get over the situation, but to acknowledge that the person has actually made an effort, I think is really important. And I think then that if the person doesn't acknowledge you
or, you know, then you don't, the onus is on them. Then you're clean. You know what I mean? If a person is rude enough to leave you hanging with an apology, then you just, you're off the hook because you've done the right thing and they haven't. And so, you know, I think it's important not just to apologize when you do something wrong, but also to acknowledge when someone apologizes to you. Even if it's embarrassing, even if it makes you feel uncomfortable, even if you think an apology is actually not necessary because you weren't actually, you didn't feel that it was necessary, you could still say, oh, you know. And, you know, that's just interpersonal communication, you know. The ABC, the basis, the foundation of human communication. It's like call and response almost. So, yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of thinking of what, you know, the whole process. You know, I know people. I have to say this. My sister, for example, I have two sisters. I won't tell you who. One of my sisters will not apologize no matter what. No matter what happens, she will not apologize. Even if she knows she's done something wrong, she will not bring herself to say, I'm sorry. She will try and make it up in other ways. I don't know, she'll try and talk to you like nothing happened, or she'll try and buy you something, or she'll try and distract you and try and make you forget about it. But she will never, ever say, I'm sorry. And I actually feel really sorry for her that she can't bring herself, because that's got to be, you know, that's not a good place to be, because then, you know, if you can't say I'm sorry, then there's something really not right about your view of yourself and your others and others. There's nothing, it doesn't take anything to say, you know what, I messed up, I'm sorry, you know. Yeah, I mean, when I apologized to my friend, my high school friend, I still remember how that made me feel, but I think that it was justified, and I think that it didn't make me a lesser person. You know, you've already done something wrong, so apologizing for it isn't going to make you more wrong. It's actually going to go a long way towards towards repairing the trust or repairing the friendship, the relationship, whatever. As long as you, like I said before, I was talking about saying I'm sorry and not mean it, and just to kind of shut the person up. That's why whenever someone says I'm sorry, I always think that it's a good idea to say what you're sorry for. Or if I think I see a lot of parents educating children to apologize, which is a good thing to learn, but don't just say, I'm sorry, I'd like an apology, okay, I'm sorry, and that's it. It's like, okay, what are you apologizing for then? I'd like you to apologize, I think you need to apologize. This is like when teaching a child. What are you apologizing for? You know, if you did something, of course, and make it relevant, make it age relevant. You know, you can't go into a lot of depths with like a 3-year-old, but what are you apologizing for? Oh, I apologize for being naughty or whatever. Why? Because, you know, it annoys you, or it was dangerous, I played something dangerous. I don't know. You know, I'm sure parents have a lot of stories about child naughtiness, but when someone apologizes, then they need to, you know, they need to acknowledge also what they're apologizing for, because just to say I'm sorry doesn't, it's like, it's not a reset button or a delete button. Anyway, these are just my thoughts, really. Like I said, it's really not anything to do with the trending things. It's just kind of moved on from there, morphed into like, because I really, people fascinate me, like people in general. Interpersonal communication fascinates me. Sometimes I like to just listen to people communicating and to see the kind of, because there's the text, there's subtext, you know, there's body language, there's tone of voice, there's
you know, if you can see, obviously there's eye contact or lack of eye contact. And I think, as a blind person, I think, you know, people say, oh, well, I can't make eye contact, so I don't know. But if you actually listen to the voice or even actually feel the person's energy, then you really don't need the eye contact that much, because if you make some sort of eye contact with someone, then that eye contact is also reflected in other things. It's not just your eyes that are doing it. It's your whole stance, your whole energy, your whole way of communicating is part of it. So if I never felt that the eye contact itself was missing, only because it's translated into energy, and energy is something that I feel very strongly. So the eye contact is like one way of expressing it, but the person expressing is doing it at the same time in other ways. Do you know what I mean? I mean, does that make any sense? Anyway, just reflections this morning about how people communicate. I think it's really fascinating. And I think that this kind of communication transcends, like, you know, it doesn't matter if it's face-to-face. Obviously, face-to-face, you have a richer way of connection. But there's, you know, on the phone, there's online, there's, you know, written well, I'm not even going to go into the written, because then that opens up a whole can of worms. But let's just stick to speech for now, to, you know, verbal. Then there's many, many things that go on, you know. It's like exchanging, because all it is words, and words are thoughts, and but thoughts still affect us. I don't know, I just find the whole thing really, really fascinating. I just, you know, I'm interested in hearing people's thoughts on this. I mean, you don't have to tell me, you know, you don't feel that you need to tell people about, you know, what you did wrong and had to apologize for something like what I did. That was just an example, which, you know, I probably wouldn't have told you 20 years ago, but now I feel comfortable enough to say it, because it takes some kind of a time and a distance and an age thing to say, you know. Just interested in your thoughts, just as a topic, you know. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. So, okay, so we went through this couple of days of this stuff. But let's move on from there, and let's use it as a topic of discussion. Why not? Hey, why not? That's what we're doing here, right? We're talking, so let's talk. Anyway, I hope you all have a beautiful day. Those who celebrate Cinco de Mayo, have a happy day. Eat goodies. And I hope to speak with you all soon. Pause recording. Button.